Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America. And today we want to focus on an economic report. And actually, our guest, Angela Kassler, who has the business of sustainability management consulting services, has coined the term disaster capitalism following the fires in Paradise, California, her town that was burned to the ground in 2018. She started using the words disaster capitalism. And I would add the phrase to describe that, how your tax dollars are being used against you. Americans don't realize the degree to which our tax dollars are being paid to county, town, state, and private companies in order to carry out the government's agenda that is destroying our lives, our jobs, our communities, and our environment. It's actually very chilling. And one of the things that most people don't realize that Angela will share more with us about today is how catastrophe bonds were issued by FEMA and the electric company PG&E related to the Paradise, California fires in 2018, and how the bondholders cashed in, but people who had jobs and insurance could not receive help from FEMA. Registration with FEMA was even cyber attacked. And what we've seen since 2018 in escalating ways is this constant declaration of state of emergencies over all kinds of things, including the most recent declaration of state of emergencies by, I think at last count, it was about 8 different states just for the solar eclipse. We've never had that before, but what, and we have anywhere from 2 to 5 partial eclipses a year. The last total eclipse that crossed America was roughly 6 years ago. But we never had any of this fear-mongering and these state of emergency declarations. But what people don't realize is that state of emergency frees up federal money coming into the states, which is our tax money being used in ways that are actually undermining our freedoms and our own ability to make decisions in our lives. The weather manipulation with climate engineering that you'd heard us talk about with Dane Wigginton from geoengineeringwatch.org and many other, the viral illnesses and whatever other state of emergency they want to create, they are bankrupting the country. And Angela will talk more about that. As she said in her email to me that led to my request to do this show with her, quote, it's one huge disaster capital Ponzi scheme. In addition, the money keeps elected officials from speaking out so that the money flow continues. And end quote on that point. And we saw that during the militarized medical martial law based on the public health emergency when federal money was being paid to hospitals to actually use the COVID death protocols that were causing people to die because the wrong treatments were being used. I certainly spent many hours trying to save lives in the hospital death protocol situation. The government is actually using our tax dollars towards our destruction. We see it in Arizona. Catholic Charities is facilitating with government money the transportation and housing and support of the invasion of illegal aliens coming across our border. Hotels in the Tucson area are being paid with U.S. tax dollars to house illegal aliens to the detriment of Americans. Tax dollars are being used to provide their medical care, transportation, debit cards, phones, housing, food, all of it. Our tax dollars are being used in this disaster capitalism, payments to defense contractors, private vendors, city, county, and state governments, and destroying the backs of a working American population. So, Angela, thank you for all the work you're doing on this front. Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report. So tell us how you put all these pieces together and what you've been finding out about the enormity of these tax payments by the federal government to our local private companies and government agencies that are actually undermining the interest of the American citizens and taxpayers.
Indeed. Dr. Vliet, thank you so much for the summarization there of the Ponzi scheme of what I started calling disaster capitalism. When we start thinking about how our taxpayer dollars are being used with representation, it's recently when I bring up all of these issues to my congressman, the staff will tell me, you need to bring a lobbyist. And basically, it is pay for play. And that is very concerning as another piece of the puzzle as well. And so when we're thinking about, are our officials representing us with our tax dollars and using those funds wisely? Like you said, it is really just almost bankrupting the country. And so I had a firsthand experience with this, and my eyes were wide open to the collusion that was happening that I consider to be a Ponzi scheme. And a Ponzi scheme is basically where investors move money between each other and help each other to build wealth. And when we look at the public-private partnerships, public meaning the public sector of the government, the private sector of the business community, when they work together, we call that a private-public partnership. And between them, the strategies between them are on an event that will happen. And the Ponzi scheme is that many of them receive funding. And so when we start thinking about, while we're looking at how taxpayer dollars are being abused and misused, we need to really bring attention to some of the things that are happening in America, like you were saying, with the border and funding the healthcare and education and debit cards of illegal aliens. My experience first started in November 6th of 2018, when we started getting high wind alerts and it was still fire season because we hadn't received very much rain. And so the first fire actually began on November 6th, where a tree came into contact with an electrical line and they couldn't get a hold of the homeowner. And then through those next 2 days from November 6th to November 8th, we kept getting those emergency alerts that the electricity would be turned off. So on the morning of November 8th, usually I start working at 5 a.m. and I was working with my colleague, and about 7 o'clock, I told her, oh, I just heard on the TV that there's a fire in Pulga, which takes me about 45 miles to drive to. And it's in between several canyons and it experiences very high wind, and it's a forested area of very high canyons. And so I wasn't really worried about it, but I went outside, looked at the sky, and it was all orange, and there was all kinds of stuff flying around in the air. So I called my husband, told him to come home from work. He works an hour away, and he said, "Oh, don't worry about it." And so then I called my father-in-law, who lives right across the street from us, and asked him to grab his go bag and come on over. And he didn't come over till about 10 a.m. And when I opened the front door, we are the last street leaving our town of Paradise, going towards the next town of Chico, California. And I opened the front door, and there was a rip-roaring fire coming out of our canyon. And this is the third canyon away from the Polga Gap. And we had no alerts, and there were no sirens blaring. There was no indication that there was an emergency. There were no planes flying. Usually, when we have a flat fire, it is so loud. The planes are out there and they're doing their job, and they're just amazing to watch. And so there was no noise. It was absolutely silent. And we live on the main road leaving the town to evacuate. And so what happened was that morning, people in Paradise started calling our emergency dispatchers and telling them that there was fire in the town. And they said the dispatchers told citizens, "No, that fire is not in Paradise. Go back to bed. It's just fine. The fire is in Polga." And they're telling them, "We have fire in the backyard. What are you talking about? We're telling you." And so they evacuated only the east side of town, never informed the rest of the town, because later on we found out that they wanted it to be an orderly evacuation. And then after that evacuation, they ended up closing that road and redirecting everyone to the center of town, to my road where everyone would evacuate. And so we didn't receive alerts. There were no emergency sirens blaring. There was no indication that anything was wrong that morning. And there was nothing on the radio or the TV. And it was just dead silent. So, anyway, long story
You know,
short.
this sounds a lot like Maui, when
Oh,
people were
yes.
not warned.
Oh, yes. And I believe, and I always believed that this was on purpose. And I didn't have any proof, because so much went wrong, Dr. Fleet. The people, I'm going to tell you about my next door neighbor who evacuated. He was working at the hospital performing surgery. And at 7 a.m., they got the order to evacuate. And they literally were in surgery. And so they were putting patients under anesthesia in anyone's car and starting to drive them out down to the hospitals. And so he and his friends were the last one to leave. His colleague picked him up in his car. And my friend is a marathon runner. And the roads were closed. The emergency personnel told them they had to go to the center of town. Well, this is a deep gap in a canyon. There's three canyons in our town, and most people live above on top of the canyon. So you have to go down and up, down and up. And so they got stuck in a gulch, and the fire came roaring through there. And he saw the car next to him. They were all stopped in traffic. He saw the next car next to him start catching fire, and the man never got out. And they're screaming at him, "Get out, evacuate, start running." And so his friend said to him, "You have to start running, my friend, because you're a marathon runner. And if anyone can run out of here, it's you." And so my friend started running because traffic was jammed, the fire was coming through, people were catching fire. It was horrific. And he gets to the next intersection, and the EMS personnel again tells them, "No, you have to go down to the next road. We closed this main artery." And so he kept running, and they said, "No, you will not run. You will stop here and you will evacuate and safely get into someone's car." So he didn't listen to him and kept running. And so he gets down to my road called Skyway, and it's a full-on traffic jam because they routed everyone to one road, and it's
This
blocked,
is
right?
exactly like what happened in Maui. They
Exactly.
led people into the path of the fire.
Yes, and only the people that survived in Maui and Paradise were the ones who didn't listen. There was a man who took the roadblock on Skyway and said, we are going through here. I was going to use some profanity there. And he told the man, whatever, I don't care what you say. So he moved the roadblocks and then he started driving down the wrong side of the road. There's two one-way streets. So he started driving down the wrong way. And then everyone just followed him. Thank goodness, right? And so if he had listened to that man and everyone was stuck in traffic, we would have had 26,000 people were evacuating at the same time. Okay. So we had 85 people die. 85 people die. And 26,000 people were trying to evacuate. So if he didn't do that, our entire town would have just had massive casualties. And so that's the stories from everyone that was evacuating. For me, I was telling you, I live on the last street. When I got out to the main crossway, my whole street was on fire. And to my left, everyone should have been evacuating in this one-way street. No one was coming. And then to my right, my neighbor's house was on fire, and there was literally like a 30-foot wall of flame blowing across the street, and it was very windy. And when I looked across, I saw my neighbor's wood pile on fire, and the flames were only heading in the direction of my neighbor's house. It was the weirdest thing I have ever seen. Now, fire makes its own weather, but I have never seen fire directed straight towards someone's house from a wood pile. And so it should have just been the wind was blowing straight at me. The fire should have been blowing straight at me. And so it was so surreal. So I literally pictured myself as like Daisy Dukes from the Dukes of Hazzard, and I was in an excursion. And I was like, well, if I go left, I could try to go up through town, but no one's coming. So it could be worse than this 30-foot fire to my right-hand side. So I looked at my father-in-law, who was like 91 at the time. He was in the car behind me, and he's a Marine, okay? So I figured he's a Marine. He will do this as well. So I inched out, waited for him to follow me, and made that right-hand turn, and poof, drove right into the fire. And it was crazy. And it was, I mean, so hot. All you saw was like red flame, like pushing against the window, and it was hot, hot, hot. So I turned on my windshield wipers. So I'm like, I can't see, and turn on my lights, and all just stupid stuff, you know. Started to really panic because it was so hot, and I just didn't know what I was going to crash into. I didn't know if there were cars stuck in there, and whatever, you know. So I just kept driving, and then suddenly I just felt a presence and became very calm and knew I'd be all right, and literally just closed my eyes and listened to I could feel my tires on the pavement. So this is about a quarter mile driving through an inferno. And once I got out, there was like this blue sky and it was gorgeous. And so I just kept waiting for my father-in-law to come through, and I was just praying to God, please don't let him hit the brakes. And if he does, I will go back in there and get him, but please have him keep driving. And eventually he came through, and I just can't tell you the enormous relief of a 91-year-old Marine driving through that fire. And so eventually we started down this road, and there was nobody but the two of us, you know. And it was just so surreal. And then eventually we get down, and I see everyone driving on the one-way street going the wrong way down into the next town. And I was like, oh, that's where everyone's at. So, long story short, what we found out was that our dispatchers had to evacuate and didn't alert the rest of the town. That's what they said. They said that they were rerouting everyone because they didn't want mass panic. The sheriff, he forgot to notify, I guess it's NOAA that would set off the TV and radio alerts.
How does someone forget something so basic? I mean, I realize this is off the subject of the disaster capitalism that we were going to be talking about from the economic perspective, but there's so many parallels. What you're describing about the Paradise, California fire and the Maui fires, when those in charge failed to do their duties and failed to follow basic procedures. So
Yes, I believe
That
that
is
paradise
quite
was a
alarming. There
pilot.
almost seems to be a deliberate attempt to harm the public.
Yes, when the Maui fire happened, I knew, and I was crying just because knowing what they went through, I knew that what I felt in my heart, that this was on purpose. I thought, thinking to myself, Paradise was a pilot test, and they used the same exact war plan in Maui. And trying to reach out to people in Maui to let them know what happens next, because here's where the disaster capitalism started, was taxpayer money was going all to our town of Paradise, to the county of Butte, and they were using the money for the most ridiculous reasons and putting it into savings accounts and things like that. And at the time, I thought, wow, look at all of this taxpayer dollars federally for through the whole country being used to help our town. And so I just thought that was bizarre. The next thing that happened was PG&E declared bankruptcy. And it turns out in the collusion that the judge appointed for the bankruptcy court, Judge Montali, and the trustee for our fire victims fund, Judge Trotter and Kathy Yanni, have all known each other for decades. And then I thought, wow, this is collusion as well. And then you might recall Gavin Newsom, our governor, he was caught at the, French wine restaurant having dinner during COVID lockdown.
Yes, I
Well,
remember quite the just diabolical hypocrite.
yes, well, the reason they were having that meeting was the lobbyists were all there, and hedge fund brokers and bondholders from the catastrophe bonds were at that meeting planning how they were going to do the reorganization plan for the bankruptcy of PG&E. And they sold out all the fire victims. Bondholders got paid. Our insurance company got paid 80% of our losses. And the hedge fund brokers got their sales of stocks at $2.60 per se, and then turned around and sold them for $9.63. And the reporters who reported all of these events also were fired from their jobs. Okay, does that sound familiar? And so when we start thinking about the collusion here, we've got our governor, we've got the federal government handing out FEMA money. And FEMA, by the way, does not help survivors if you have a job or insurance. Basically, they sent us to the Small Business Administration because I have a business, and they said you can apply for a loan. Well, get this. Once we were at the approval stage, they were saying, well, this amount, we're going to have to take your land as collateral. And they had advertised it at 2% as an interest rate. And they just said, because of your income, you're going to get a 4% rate. So it just made me so angry. And I said, no, you're not going to take my land as collateral. And now you see the land grabs happening with our farmers and all kinds of sectors, right, where that's beginning to happen today. And so when we see the wealth and the Ponzi scheme between our hedge fund brokers, the catastrophe bonds, let me tell you what that is. Artemis is a website that actually lists every time a catastrophe bond is issued by a company. So insurance companies will open up catastrophe bonds for reinsurance and sell them to other insurances, just like mortgage companies sell off your mortgage. Well, PG&E and FEMA both issued catastrophe bonds before our fire, one in June and the other in September. And my
How could
insurance
they issue
company.
a catastrophe bond before the catastrophe occurred?
Exactly. Yes. And it was for fire. And then my insurance company, right after that, did a new bond for flood after fire. Okay. So the entire next 2 months after our fire, we had Pineapple Express floods. I mean, we had flood after flood after flood, which took the pollution and the contamination from all of our burnt out homes and businesses. We lost 14,400 buildings, right? All of that goes down into a big giant lake called Lake Orville, which belongs to nine counties in Southern California. That's their water. And I kept telling my county emergency management team, the pollution going into the water. What are we doing about this? Are we testing the water? Blah, blah. They're like, don't worry, everything's fine. There's no pollution. Okay. So, I mean, Dr. Vliet, an environmental disaster, you've got a financial disaster going on all at the same time, right? So, since this fire, I've learned another thing that I just stumbled across. Was that people were posting during our fire, NOAA, the National Organic, or what's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association? Their satellite feed is open to the public. So they were basically looking at feeds coming from the morning of our fire, people who do all this research and are very good at what they do. They said and showed pictures of Paradise being microwaved by a GWEN, a ground wave emergency network, from three locations in Washington State, South Dakota, and Colorado, all at the same time at 5:48 a.m. And that's when the fire started. The 1970 U.S. Department of
And that was a
Agriculture's
ground. Let's go back over that. That was a ground wave.
emergency network. GWEN, Ground Wave Emergency Network, which is a like they use sonic waves underneath the ground from the deep underground military bases. Remember the national alert on October 7th?
I tell you what. Let's
That was a
explain this in
GWEN.
the second half because we're coming up on a break. Let's go into the Ground Wave Emergency Network and the timing of that in the second half. This is Dr. Lee for America. We'll be right back after the break. Check our website, www.truthforhealth.org, and look at all the resources we have to help you improve your health and resilience after vaccine injury, 5G radiation, and other environmental assaults on your health and your well-being. Also, check out our store, www.truthforhealthstore.com, and all of the professional formulas and certified GMP compliant manufactured products that we have personally selected that will help improve your health and resilience. We'll be right back after the break with more on the Paradise, California fires from a survivor of that horrific ordeal, and more about the subject of disaster capitalism, how your tax dollars are being used against you to enrich the few. This is Dr. Lee for America. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Check out the new Truth for Health store at truthforhealthstore.com. We have exclusive professional formulas with exciting new products, including True Mitochondrial Boost that can help improve your energy, memory, focus, and concentration. All of our products are manufactured in certified compliant facility using good manufacturing practices approved and inspected by the FDA. Check us out,
www.truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America from Truth for Health Foundation, www.truthforhealth.org. Check out all of our resources for your emergency preparedness, for your health, your life, and your freedom. Our guest today is Angela Kassler, who has the company Sustainability Management Consulting, and coined the term disaster capitalism, how federal dollars are being used to enrich the elites in the local, state, federal government, and private businesses, and not serve the interest of the taxpayers. And that is tied in to this constant drumbeat of state of emergency on all kinds of topics that really have nothing to do with an actual state of emergency, most recently the solar eclipse, and how that triggers federal money flowing into the coffers of the local, state, county, city governments and private businesses and bondholders. So, Angela, before the break, you were starting to talk about the odd occurrence of a ground wave emergency network sonic wave that occurred in the morning of the day the fires started. And you said it originated from three states, Washington, Colorado, and a third one.
That would be South Dakota.
South Dakota. Well, explain briefly for our listeners more about that and how that was also tied in with the Paradise Valley fire, Paradise, California fires, and all of the ways in which the bondholders got enriched and average citizens got no help.
Yes, and directed energy weapons, I really didn't know a lot about them. I just knew they were contractors for usually the Department of Defense. So what happened was 2017, Santa Rosa, California had the Tubbs fire. And after our fire in Paradise, they came up to warn us, just like we were trying to reach out to the people of Maui, to say, you know, the Rothschilds have a satellite weapon system, and they set off the fire in Santa Rosa. And at the time, I was under such stress, I didn't believe them, but I listened. And then later on, when I started learning about the Maui fire, I went back and looked at the feeds posted from people all over the internet of the ground wave emergency network of GWENs, which are scalar or sonic wave from deep underground military bases. Now, supposedly in my research, I found that the U.S. Air Force had 63 bases, and I believe sometime they supposedly closed them down. So they may be operated by other entities of the government and contractors. So these pictures were a simultaneous microwave from Washington, South Dakota, and Colorado, and expanded throughout five counties in our area. And being microwaved, I think, has affected my life a lot. I also found another document by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Forest Service that was declassified by DARPA in the 1970 war plan using fire. And it does include our area where Dane Wigington is from in Northern California. And so my husband's a veteran and I've worked on military bases. So it was really hard for me to wrap my head around this, that the military would do that to civilians. So, you know, that was in my brain. But
I don't really think it's our military as a whole. I think it's Department of Defense, DARPA, and some of the deep state darker forces that are trying to carry out a very sinister agenda against the American public, because many of our military service members have also been victimized by these same bureaucrats and nefarious actors in the Department of Defense.
Yes, and well said. And I love all of our veterans, do a lot of work with them as well. So when you look at collateral damage, that sometimes some of these deep state actors are looking at us as collateral damage, when we look at disaster capitalism, it is a great way for this private public partnership to exchange funds between state of emergency funding. And I'll let me tell you, taxpayer dollars went to a brand new headquarters for California Fire. Our town of Paradise has brand new fire engines. Our sheriff received a brand new helicopter and also a California Office of Emergency Services, Cal OES surveillance B-class van just last year. This year, they're building a new jail. And then our town basically got money to fix the roads because they were all burnt. And then they'll dig it up again to do something else. And then they have to fix the roads again. I mean, it's just insane. And so you look at all of this insanity happening around you, and you see PG&E, our electric company, raising the rates, and then divide and conquer, where everyone hates the fire victims because it's our fault that their rates are going up during this time of inflation and high CPI. And so that whole divide and conquer mentality of this whole entire Ponzi scheme. And so when I look at this as a coordinated program, as a Ponzi scheme, when we look at the National Defense Authorization Act, of what we saw happen during the COVID pandemic lockdown, where public health became reporting to now DOD, Department of Defense, I started to really understand this because of what happened to us in Paradise, because it has taken me a long time to really wrap my head around this. And now we see these public emergencies. Yesterday, I was reading on the news, it was about 10 cities had declared a state of emergency. And what worries me about Buffalo is they are one of the named six United States cities that are going to be the 15-minute cities for the United Nations. And so that was one of the people that did a solar eclipse state of emergency for tourism or hydro dam infrastructure worries, right? So the other cities that did state of emergencies was for actual weather that happened prior to the eclipse over the last 2 weeks, starting in Austin, Texas. And so when we look at these Ponzi schemes, we have got Congress telling citizens, well, you need to bring a lobbyist in order to pay for play for us to do anything about your issue. The other is you've got federal tax dollars, our tax dollars going out to all kinds of situations right now. And it is absolutely bankrupting the country, heading us towards losing our power as the US dollar, as the petrodollar, and maybe central bank digital currency if that actually happens. And so I just think that this is a long-term plan that I happened to get involved in because my town burned down and it really woke me up. And then COVID really woke me up to say how the government can easily say, how did we do a lockdown that people listened? And then people listened when we told them to wear masks and use these COVID home kits and so on and so on. And all of those were paid for, where everyone could get with the government website and order their home kit test and get their free vaccine or get a hamburger with that vaccine, or you know what I mean? And so it's literally bankrupting the country. And as taxpayers, we all need to stand up together and to say, we definitely want representation for our taxpayer dollars, and to demand that our system right itself, that we need to go back to our ethics. Every one of us needs to go back to our ethics and think about, what is it that we're doing? I'm getting rich off of someone else's disaster. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And if you saw the government contractors that have been in our town since day one, from the cleanup to putting up utility poles, from telecommunications and also electricity and water, it has been insane to watch the money change hands. And the last thing that I'll say that has really just been the worst part of all is our district attorney, Mike Ramsey. He charged Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, with 85 counts of manslaughter. They had to pay restitution. Then our County Board of Supervisors had a meeting where they were going to use that money for paying off county employee pensions. Okay, so the money that came from PG&E for killing 85 people went to our county to pay down their pension debt that they cannot afford.
You know, that really is just absolutely despicable. And what about the families who lost their loved ones? Was there any compensation or any support for them?
Yes, the only person at that meeting was myself and a survivor. One of the people that I know, her mom died in the fire. She had evacuated. Her mom refused to leave because there were no alerts. And she said, there are no alerts. There's no reason to evacuate. So my friend left and left her mother at home. And now she has to live with that the rest of her life. So in this tort, the bankruptcy court, we ended up having to do a tort where I believe 17 other fires were lumped into one tort claim. And the victims that lost their family members were reimbursed through a PG&E settlement in their bankruptcy plan. And that settlement first went to the bondholders, to the hedge fund brokers, to their stock brokers, and also the insurance companies. What was left over then went to the fire victims, which is a paltry amount, and they gave half of it in stocks in their own company. So this has been drawn out. Just this entire last January, this nightmare isn't over. It just continues on and on. It's really the gift that keeps on giving. And we're constantly having to spend time to right the wrongs that are being done. Basically, right now, they're saying you have to sign these releases without knowing who we're releasing. And the reorganization plan says you need to be a consensual releasing party. And so my lawyers, they don't care because they're going to get paid no matter what I decide to do if I sign these releases. And the trust is basically just the trustee makes $150,000 a month out of the PG&E settlement. So that money's coming from PG&E, thankfully, not from taxpayer dollars. But the taxpayers are being hurt because PG&E rates have gone up because of all of their fires throughout the state. And so there's just so much going on that I could just go on and on for hours.
That's just, it's really staggering. This is so parallel to what happened
In
in
Maui.
Maui. And it's I don't know how these government bureaucrats can live with themselves with these deaths on their conscience.
You know what? Another thing, Dr. Vliet, another similarity I forgot to tell you about. Before our fire, FEMA was in our town. Okay. Same thing happened in Maui. You know, they were having the meeting the day before over in another island, Oahu, and Hawaii OES did a tour of Maui the day before the fire. Okay. So FEMA was also in Hawaii at that meeting. Public private partnership.
I really think FEMA has just been absolutely gone. They've gone to the dark side. They're operating against the American people. We saw that in Katrina as well.
Yes. And I believe that I need to look at more details that are happening with FEMA, but I believe that weather manipulation is happening. If you go to a website called the Weather Meteorological Organization's World Weather Research Program, so WWRP, World Weather Research Program, NOAA has strategic partners in their strategic plan. And this World Weather Research Program organizes the 53 countries that have a weather modification machine. Ours in the United States is called HARP-2. HARP-1 is in Alaska. And so, in the meeting that I read the notes of the meeting agenda minutes, one person was asked, is fire part of weather modification? And the answer,
Yes.
quote, says, fire is not excluded. Since ET is many different areas, but it is not the focus. And this is a quote from Andrea Flossom, part of, they report to the United Nations. Okay. So 53 countries have a weather modification machine. And I thought
Well,
it was
that's also
16.
well documented on geoengineeringwatch.org. Weather
Exactly.
manipulation, weather warfare. Lyndon Baines Johnson talked about, I mean, I remember when he was president, I'm old enough to remember him as president, and he talked about he who controls the weather controls the world. And governments have been engaged in weather warfare, weather manipulation, and strategies for warfare since the 1960s, and perhaps even as early as secret programs during World War II.
Yes, it is proven during World War II. I was just reading about
It's
that.
truly, truly chilling how long governments of the world have been working against the public.
Right. And, when you mentioned Katrina, can you make a hurricane stronger? Right. The first time it really, really became real to me was there was a hurricane in Oklahoma. And then the following year, the hurricane was the next day of, the year before and followed almost the same exact path. And when I saw this on the news, I said, HAARP really is real. Why would they, could this have been on set on repeat to repeat the following year and somebody forgot to turn it off, And that's what I thought when I saw it on the news. And my husband was like, you're crazy. And so I, am typically have to research things very deeply before I'll actually say it out loud, but that's the first time I started paying attention to how could they ruin someone's town, their livelihood, their businesses, their homes, and make money off of that disaster. And
Well, I think there's a special place in hell for
yeah.
those elected officials, state, city, county, federal, who are enriching themselves at the public taxpayer trough and killing people in the process. And all we as individual citizens can do is our best to help wake people up to the enormity of this orchestrated plan for depopulation that's been going on for at least 100 years since the eugenics movement of the 1920s. It's 100 years ago. And all of that is well documented. And this
Absolutely.
disaster capitalism is all part of collapsing our economy. And when you talk about a public-private partnership, that is the definition of fascism.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what we're seeing now, is the public-private partnership using public dollars into the coffers of private businesses, creating enrichment for all parties in control at the expense of the average person. That is the definition of fascism. That is what we're seeing today. And that is this Ponzi scheme that you're talking about under the term disaster capitalism. You're
Yes.
using the declaration of these emergencies, public health emergency, state of emergency for weather, or state of emergency for the solar eclipse, whatever they want to make up. The emergency of the week, they are using that as a source of printing dollars, bankrupting our country, and destroying our economy for the average people of this country and other countries around the world. That's the bottom line.
Yes, and the bottom line is for every person out there to understand what is happening, to really get a glimpse into this is really happening. For all people that are accepting money from the government, don't accept it. Send it back, and you will be fine. You will find a way to handle this, right? And so when we start thinking about the money keeps rolling, it basically tells our elected officials to remain silent because their money flow will stop if they speak out about an issue. And that's why you can't get your local or your state officials to assist you any longer. Their money flow will stop. They've been addicted. Just like if I were to go on food stamps, how would I live my life without it? Right? And so the cities and counties right now, that is what they're doing. And this has been going on for a long time. And now everybody else wants their piece. Does that make sense? And so we can't allow America to be but bankrupted.
Well, that's exactly right. And I just want all of our listeners to understand how long these plans have been in place, how long they have been working against the interest of the American people. And it has escalated under the Biden administration to hasten the rate of destruction of our economy and our freedom and our lives. So, for all of you listening, I'd like for Angela, in closing, to give us some steps that she sees you can begin taking locally to help expose this. So, Angela, what are your action steps, call to action for our listeners?
Well, thank you. That's a great question because I recently just sat down with my local sheriff, and there's a couple of community plans, such as Neighborhood Watch or an emergency action group that you could start forming in your community. And the other thing is, we're sick of what's happening in our states, in our counties, in the nation, but we do need to go to those meetings and meet with our supervisors, meet with our counselors, let them know that you are watching and expose them in the media, right? If you can even get anybody in the media to report anything today. And so when we start to think about how can we work together in our local communities to be able to right the wrongs, and then on the national level to continue to not let Congress off the hook, right? We have to say, you represent me. I elected you. And I don't have a lobby organization to pay you millions of dollars to work on this issue and continue to hammer away and send in information about what you feel. The other is that we would like everyone to think about filing criminal complaints in your local areas or to work with people across the country where a defendant may live, where some of these reckless endangerment and colluded disasters are happening. And can I give you a quick example? And this is a supposition, I can't prove this, but Rand Paul had Dr. Anthony Fauci on the stand asking him about royalty payments and why people at NIAID and NIH were receiving royalty payments. And then the next day they had a tornado in Kentucky, right? And so, when we start to recognize that there are things happening that actually might not be natural, such as a wildfire, a tornado, or a hurricane, these are things that we need to really start learning about. And so, I hope that you'll join me. It's not fun, but also, knowledge is power. And using that knowledge and helping your neighbors and your friends and family start to understand it. And to understand that we are walking ourselves towards bankruptcy as a country, and that will lead to global government. If you think fascism is bad now, this is just the very beginning.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I hope everyone listening will share this program with your friends, your social media network, and also start discussing this, going to the local county board of supervisors, city council meetings, and state legislature meetings, and holding people accountable for these kinds of expenditures of tax dollars that are not being used to directly benefit the public. And also look at the criminal complaint templates that we have on our website, many of which were provided by Todd Callender and his law firm. And Angela has on her website. Angela, tell our listeners where they can find your website.
I'm going to go ahead and add to your website if that's okay, Dr. Fleet. Choose your
Okay,
own.
that's fine.
Because everybody
All right,
knows
so the
you.
templates will be on our website, truthforhealth.org, under legal resources. Angela, thank you for all of your tireless work on this front. Thank you for speaking out and the courage to speak out about the targeted individuals, the damages and risk of the microwave weaponry being used, and to expose the collusion and corruption in the disaster capitalism Ponzi scheme. We're honored to have you on the show today. And for all of you listening, the Whistleblower Report is designed to bring you truth, hope, and solutions for such a time as this against the lies and deception. Check out our archive at www.truthforhealth.org and tune in for our next Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us today.